Insecurity Podcast. MVP's fight to the last. Inside and the know-how. We take the challenge now.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Security MVP Insights series within the Talking Security Podcast. I am Frans Oudendorp, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Bojan Gebazi. We are excited to bring you the second episode in our series, where we dive deep into the world of cybersecurity.
Thanks, Frans. In this series, we delve into global and local cybersecurity challenges, as the last time. Share expert insights on current and future trends, and highlight innovation solutions from our MVP security MVPs. Our goal is to provide practical advice and insights to keep you ahead in the fast-paced world of cybersecurity.
And for today's episode, we have a fantastic guest joining us. Thijs Lecomte is a senior Microsoft 365 consultant. That was stated on your LinkedIn profile, Thijs. Microsoft MVP and a recognized expert in Microsoft Sentinel and threat protection. Thijs has a wealth of experience in helping organizations secure the cloud environments and is here to share some of his insights with us.
Exactly. And in addition to this, his consultancy work, Thijs is also a writer and a technical editor for Microsoft 365 Security for IT Pros ebook. And he actively contributes to the tech community through his blog, 365 by Thijs.ba, and forums like Tech Community and Reddit. We are thrilled to have him on the show to discuss some of the pressing cybersecurity challenges and trends he has observed.
So without further ado, let's get started with our conversation. Thijs, welcome to the Security MVP Insights. We're excited to have you here. And to kick things off, you're working at The Collective, and you're telling me before we are starting this show that you have already another title. So what are you doing in your normal day job?
Thank you for such a warm welcome. That was an awesome introduction. So my LinkedIn title doesn't really represent what I do. I need to update that in the near future. I am responsible for the managed services within The Collective. So we offer multiple security managed services, and responsible for those services. The main focus point I have is responsible for our managed detection and response service, which means we are offering a SOC service to our customers.
Nice. And besides your normal day job, working for The Collective company, you're a Microsoft MVP. Can you share a bit of your background and how you became a Microsoft MVP in the last few years?
Yeah, that was actually quite a change I made in my career. I started my career in a regular system engineering role, so just doing hypervisors, end-user support, firewalls, really generic IT role and infrastructure, and actually moved. I was active on the company's blog at that point, and I blogged on that blog, like talking about Intune mostly. And I switched to The Collective to focus on Intune actually. And that's when I started my blog. When I switched companies, I started my own blog, and I focused on Intune at first. And my first year, I was actually nominated an Intune MVP. But within The Collective, there was also a strong focus on security. And Michael van Horenbeek, the CEO, is a big defender and Sentinel expert. And he kind of dragged me into that field. And then I quickly saw how awesome that part is. And I focused on the SIEM and XDR parts, EDR at that point. And entirely in the beginning, I mainly focused on blogging, but also actively in the tech community. I think like daily, I had multiple posts and reactions to people asking for help. And I love to do that. Unfortunately, now the priorities have changed in terms of timing, and it's not possible to do that anymore. But that was a really awesome time to do.
Amazing. And well, you mentioned a little bit on your backgrounds and where you are coming from, Thijs. Can you also give us our listeners an idea of what your primary areas of expertise are within the Microsoft technology and cybersecurity?
Yeah, so the subcategories of a security MVP have changed a few times. I think right now I am CMANX DR, to be official. And my main focus on is on Microsoft Sentinel. What I love to do most is building automation on top of Sentinel. I always liked the developer background and also liked the infrastructure background. And I found that combination to be awesome to combine the two and use automation to automate some things within Sentinel, but also within Defender. And that's what I like to keep my focus on. And it also extends into general stock practices. And I tend to focus when I'm providing guidance or when I'm talking or blogging or writing articles on practical use cases. I don't like to be the guy who's saying, hey, this is new awesome feature from Microsoft. But I like to say, okay, this is what I have been doing. These are the challenges and those are my ideas, because I feel that's the most valuable, providing your ideas to the community, because then people can learn insights and they can make their own idea out of it.
Yeah, amazing. And I think for the listeners that don't know, Thijs and myself have been working a lot. I think 5 years ago when I started the AZ Sentinel module, I think Thijs was one of the first contributors and was always pushing like Puyam in the desert.
We have come such a long way. If I look back at those times now, wow, how was that? We deployed Sentinel using CI/CD, but using that AZ module, and I know you maintained it, and then it was part of Microsoft, but then there was an API. It was such a mess at that time, but I forgot times, actually. I forgot that. It's amazing to see how far we have come.
Yeah. So those were initiatives that we were working that time at, but what are you currently working on? What challenges are you trying to address this nowadays, Thijs?
I am moving more into a management role, so less being able to working with technology and more focusing on building solutions and making sure my team is able to manage the solutions. And I love doing that. I love seeing my team grow and working on the Microsoft solutions. I think what we're focusing on right now, it's further automating Sentinel and XDR, but having some advanced use cases, which we're running into a bunch of limitations. And then also building services on top of existing Microsoft products. I think if we're talking with customers, so many are confused on what to do, where to look at, what to prioritize. And Microsoft isn't helping in that, I find. For example, today I had a case with a customer where they had port 3389 open to the internet on Azure and also port 22 SSH. And there was a recommendation from Azure Security Advisor, hey, you need to close off the management ports. But the thing was, that was a medium severity, while installing a monitoring agent is a high severity. And that baffles me, because that just provides wrong priorities to customers. They should prioritize the quick wins and what's important from a security standpoint, and not what Microsoft is selling us. So I think that's the main challenge we're trying to solve now. It's having some actionable information on what Microsoft provides us. Because right now I feel it's extremely lacking and customers are just not aware of what they need to do.
Talking about Microsoft technologies that you are using nowadays, you're running an MDR, a SOC service. You're talking about Sentinel, XDR. Are there any other Microsoft technologies that you are using for customers to secure their environments? Automating, Sentinel, any other?
I think we use just about everything in the Microsoft stack. We're really Microsoft focused. So Siemens SOAR is entirely built on top of Sentinel. We only use those components natively. Of course, the entire Defender XDR stack, but also Defender Threat Intelligence, Defender External Attack Surface Monitoring. I think exposure management is probably the coolest tool I have seen released in the past couple of months. It is amazing what it shows you. Getting the information out of it in a meaningful way, that's, again, almost impossible. But just having, just being able to show to a customer, look, these are the attack paths for your critical assets. And defining critical assets is really important because organizations often forgot what their priorities are and what they need to protect. I think from a SOC perspective, we need to look at the business side instead of the IT side. We need to protect the business, not the IT team. So we need to make sure what we are protecting, what are your critical assets, what are your crown jewels. And that's where exposure management ties in so nicely. For example, a project we're working on right now is to prioritize incidents and update the priority of an incident if there is a lateral movement path to a critical asset. That is easy to do using exposure management and KQL, but it provides such an immense value to the customer because we're able to play into their business and their environment specifically using native Microsoft tooling.
Can you maybe for our listeners, Thijs, because I hear you have a lot of experience with exposure management, very short, what it is? What can you achieve when by enabling and using it?
I think the easiest comparison to make is Bloodhound, right? It's a visual representation of how all of your assets, your devices, your users, your groups are connected and how the connections are being made. So if a user is present on a device and that device has a managed entity which has the options to create a new role, that user is essentially a global admin. And that's difficult information to get out of Microsoft tooling natively, and that's where exposure management helps. It allows you to make the connections. Okay, if this user is on this device with these permissions, he can achieve that. And it shows you in a visual way what is being connected. And that is an amazing tool to use as well, for example, to your CISO or CAO to show, okay, these are all the users which have access to that critical ERP system. And it blows their mind if you show them in a visual way.
Is that exposure management? Is that also solving some cybersecurity challenges that we have at the moment or you have with your customers? Or are there any other challenges that you face?
Well, I think it solves an enormous number of challenges. It's knowing what you have. And that's probably sometimes the hardest from an IT perspective and from a SOC perspective, certainly an external MDR. Knowing what is available in a customer's environment and what needs to be protected. You will always have blind spots, but being able to prioritize the blind spots, that's the most important thing, and that's where exposure management comes in. I think if we're looking at generic cybersecurity challenge, I think for me, that's mostly the shortage in terms of talent at this time. Not being able to find the right people with the right kind of background. And for that, I really have a personal beef. And that also comes with the background my wife has. My wife works in the social industry. And she helps people looking into new degrees and upskilling them, essentially. So if somebody is fed up of their job, they want to get out of for example, a manual labor job and want to get into cybersecurity, she will help them find the correct new job and guide them forward. And what we're seeing, what I see from her is just our government not helping people get the correct resources to move on. For example, so many foreigners from the Ukraine are here in Belgium and the Netherlands and all over Europe. And we are forcing them to study Dutch first before they can study cybersecurity. But cybersecurity is only in Dutch. And that's maybe, it's ranting a bit off topic here, but it baffles my mind that we are not trying to prioritize people doing what they like and what they need to do instead of needing to speak our language, which doesn't add a lot of value in our type of job.
That's a great example of, I think, the challenges that we are facing today. But from your opinion, while we are on the challenges side, What are some of the biggest cybersecurity challenges on a global scale today? Except the language barriers and the prioritization and the law and yeah, I mean.
I think what we often forgot is I work with customers who know what to do with cybersecurity. It's know how to prioritize cybersecurity. There's so many organizations which don't know what issues they have. They're ignorant, and I don't think they're ignorant on purpose, but they're ignorant for cybersecurity just because they don't know better. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge we have is how can we make sure everybody moves along, not just the big companies, because they have the big bucks to spend and they know they have the talent on board to move forward. But how do we get everyone's cybersecurity up and also taking into account nonprofits? For example, I think in the US, there was a search on attacks on hospitals, critical infrastructure. I think they just don't have the resources and the focus on cybersecurity. And to me, that's the biggest challenge we have. It's making sure cybersecurity all up for every company. It's being increased. Can be improved by law. There's a law coming in Belgium, I think probably in Netherlands too, right? The NIS 2 law, which is coming to effect, that might help. But I feel that we're still going to miss the smaller companies who are not aware or just don't have the budget for this.
Yeah, I think making cybersecurity accessible and available for all sides of organizations. I mean, the mission I had in my previous role at my previous company that I founded is that democratizing cybersecurity, of course. I mean, making it available and accessible. And I think that's exactly because what you mentioned, we had a great conversation with Sana as well in our force, and she started her career started with the community. There was a steel company which got ransomware, and instead of hiding everything, they opened up everything and then asked the community to help and shared all the information they had. And so by sharing, they got more attraction and everybody started helping them. And that was her explaining. I think that can be as well in your example, Thijs, one of the examples instead of for the smaller organization. But, and I think that's one of the things we do on the community, making that information accessible and available, of course.
I think talking about it is probably indeed, like you say, and it's a great example. It's the first point we need to do. It's making sure, like you say, it's accessible. And it will take a lot of effort from the entire industry and also probably local governments to do that. It's like the same in if we scope it down in a company, we often see we'll secure the cloud, but we will forget the on-premise part because the on-premise part is not sexy. And we only secure like the most what we feel is most important, but actually we have a gaping gap in that on-prem part. And I feel it's the same with just regular organizations as well. We forget the little organizations, the smaller organizations that don't know what issues they have. And that's, to me, really important to not forget.
Are there any specific Belgium things regarding cybersecurity? We talked about already about NIS2. NIS2 is more European, but are there specific Belgium things? Hey, you're from Belgium. We're based in the Netherlands. I think we have a lot in common. But are there probably some specific Belgium things that you say, if you're coming to Belgium and you are working in cybersecurity, this is a thing?
I don't think so, actually. I think what we're doing is we're lacking. If I speak with some of the Microsoft representatives, which are focused on both Belgium and the Netherlands, they will say the Netherlands is a much more mature market in terms of cybersecurity compared to Belgium. And I think you guys just are a step further than we are. And I think it also has to do that Belgium has a lot of smaller companies, and those smaller companies are just not that mature for that. I don't think we have like an awesome thing in Belgium in terms of cybersecurity. We have an awesome group, but I feel that we're kind of lagging behind. The same can be said about the amount of security MVPs between the two countries. I think in Belgium, we used to have three, but then they shifted all of the MVPs. I think we have about 8 now. I wouldn't be surprised if in Netherlands there are like 50 or something like that. Just an amazing difference. And that just shows you there's less focus in Belgium.
Luckily, we have a few in Belgium that we can collaborate with. So we're doing that. And luckily, we have some. You were talking about running an MDR service, automation. What is your approach to balance between rapid response times, and automation in cybersecurity? Sometimes you need to solve something by hand. How do you balance that?
Well, I think we have a difficult balance because we're working with customers, and I try to follow the pace of a customer as much as possible. So it is a customer's end decision how far they want to do with automation. What I like to do is having an automation in place to isolate the device immediately and execute a password immediately. Those are two automations which we typically deploy to every customer, just because if you can tweak Sentinel a little bit and you can have it tweak to your organization, the amount of false positives you have, it's quite okay, depending on what conditions you have in place. And I feel that removes the downside of having a potential false positive and, for example, isolating a device which was not necessary. And talking with customers, they mostly agree. Okay, we want a fast response. We don't care what's happening. If it's an end user device, we don't care. Just isolate it. It will be isolated maximum 1 hour, and then he's free to go. I think we have the tooling in the Microsoft stack as well to decrease the productivity impact. For example, if we isolate a device, we can choose, okay, keep the Outlook and Teams connectivity. Most of our jobs is being done in email and Teams right now. So if you keep that enabled, the impact of an isolation, it's really less. And I think certainly with the new types of attacks we're seeing, an attack in the middle is something we're seeing so often. That's where they steal the tokens of a user. That happens so fast. They will send a phishing email. They will compromise, for example, a customer or a partner. Send the email. You click on it. They get the token. They immediately log in. And then they will send other emails and implement persistence. I think on the identity, mostly, we need a fast response. Otherwise, you're just too late. Even if it's like 15 minutes for a response time from a stock analyst, you're just too late. But it is a challenge, certainly with the Microsoft stack, to scope everything correctly, to make sure you have the correct priorities and scope the automation there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. One of the challenges that we have in the last few months was a company that was an email account that was breached. And from that account, email was sent to partners, to customers from that organization. So you're working at a partner or a customer, you're receiving an email from a trusted sender because that email box was breached. And then it's so easy for people to click on a link because we have a known sender. So I've done everything. And then that customer is breached. And then we have really a problem. And then you need faster response time. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and even I think last week we saw those business email compromise attacks, and they were using SharePoint to add the link with the malware as well. And it's impossible for an anti-spam tool to block that because you have a known contact with a known trusted URL being sent, and that SharePoint list is behind authentication, so it's impossible to scan. So what can you do? What can you do against it from a detective standpoint? It's always a response action you need there.
Yeah, there were a lot of people complaining about anti-spam services like MDU and other tools. But what you say, it's quite hard to implement AI doing a machine learning to do stuff right, it needs and it takes time.
Yeah, and you triggered me there with mentioning Defender for Office 365. I think that's probably the weakest tool that Microsoft has, and the amount of spam it's letting through, it's amazing. For the cases like we discussed, okay, they have an excuse. It's really difficult. But in general, they need to tweak that and maybe spend some AI time on that to increase it. But like you say, it's such a fine balance between finding what is usual and what is not usual. And people often forget, if you look into an email, you have 1,000 signals right into your eyes, and you can immediately make a verdict, phishing or not phishing. You need to teach the AI to use that, those 1,000 signals. And that's so challenging, I think.
Yeah, we had at the summit, I don't know if you were there as well, Thijs, or you joined online. We had a really awesome session with the Office 365 team, Defender Office 365 team, regarding this and the reasons behind it and the performance that's involved and the resource that's used and the scale of it, because it's not 1,000 or 2,000 emails that they are processing.
Yeah.
And so it's a very interesting and complex scenario. And I think it's indeed part detection and response, but it's also having your configuration the right way, having like all kind of conditional access, privilege PIM in place to make it harder and harder to create that escalation path. But yeah, if you have users with permanent global admin and then log in with a separate browser, yeah, I mean, you're asking for it somewhere.
Yeah, and it's those defense in depth strategies, right? I hate the buzzwords, but it is so true. Just having multiple layers, that's the way to go.
That's at the end. And looking towards that, Thijs, what's your opinion, and what do you foresee? Because we mentioned a couple of running current challenges, but what's in your idea? What do you foresee in the cybersecurity landscape for the coming years? What are we going to face?
So I don't want to mention AI, because I think that's the common answer, and let's not go that route. What I fear it is attackers catching up, and a complex attack being extremely accessible to attackers. For example, like 2 years ago, everybody was doing password spray attacks, and that was working great. But now we are evolving in terms of complexity of configurations, because most companies hopefully have MFA, so we're protected from that. But we are seeing such an increase in how easy it is to bypass MFA. And I think, like I saw or read somewhere, that a attack tool to execute a man-in-the-middle attack is like €150 a month. And that's an example of how easy it is to, at this time, circumvent basic security controls. And I fear there will be an evolution where the attackers will continuously catch up and generate complex attacks in such a rapid volume that it will be really difficult for the defenders to stay on track and stay in front of the pack. So I'm really fearful for how the attacks will evolve, potentially also by using AI, and how we will able to protect against those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the one that you mentioned regarding MFA bypass, I mean one of the, I think, most known tools is Evolgenix. I think you have it. You have a follow MVP that did a blog or a YouTube post about it, that you can keep it, set it up and have it running like in under 5 minutes or something like that. Yeah, that's how fast it goes if you do it manually. Let's say if you do it fully automated, you can spin those things up, I think, in minutes.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see how fast it goes, how fast they evolve, and how easy complex attacks will be. For example, if you now read into the news, for example, the attacks Microsoft had a couple of months ago from the Russian nation state, I think they were using like app registrations to move laterally. Up until now, I have not seen it abused that often in real world across my customers. But I think that will rapidly evolve. All attackers will use those kind of methods. And they will easily catch up, and that will make us our hard so much more so our life so much more difficult to stay up front.
I think that is one of the key things for the next few years. Probably, if we're talking about AI, everything can be changed, and if we see in the last few years, changes are going fast. So now the question was about a few years, but I think it's the next period, and the period can be months instead of years. But before going to our last few questions regarding community and some personal goals, we have a recurring topic, and that is the AI question. So you have filled in some questions. We put it in the Copilot and ChatGPT stuff, and then AI came back with a short question this time. So Thijs, what's been the most challenging part of automating Microsoft Sentinel and Defender to ensure efficiency and security for your customers? So it's more, we talked about already about rapid response and the balance between automation. It's a bit in that context, but what is it to ensure efficiency and security for your customers?
It's a fun question from ChatGPT.
He knows you too well.
Yeah.
He knows you too well.
I think doing things the right way, it's difficult. What I mean by that, working least privilege, for example. If you're in a multi-tenant environment, it's really easy to have a global admin, invite that user into every customer environment, also have a global admin, and do your work there. Because with a global admin, you will have all of the permissions, all of the capabilities. You don't have to worry about changing passwords or rotating the keys. Just have the same username and password to have access to every tenant. Of course, it's not something we want. And you need to make sure that you secure your own solutions as well. But it is challenging to do it securely while still keeping a certain pace. For example, what we do, I go really deep dive now, but we have managed entities for our customers, and we build the automation on top of those managed entities, which are deployed in the customer's environment. That's awesome because it means that it's in the control of the customer. They have full visibility, and we don't have any huge permissions in our tenants. But if we need additional permissions, I need to write an email, hey, please assign these permissions to that managed entity, which takes a while. It's a manual effort. They need to chase the customers to assign those permissions. And there's no easy answer to that. I had discussions with Microsoft as well, saying, okay, awesome to do it. We don't see this often that you do it so securely. You're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, but it's the right thing to do, and there's no other way. And that's
the continuous battle. I think we need to have a chat soon, Thijs.
Okay.
I have some thoughts for you.
I'm looking forward to that conversation for you.
Yeah,
but not only that we're helping each other, but I think what you're mentioning, Thijs, the same challenges are do we have in the same area? All what we are saying. In Belgium, in the Netherlands, the same challenges that we have, and probably some regulations that are different, but in the main area, all the security challenges that we have in the Netherlands, you have that also in Belgium. So we need to solve that in the same way, and we have the same challenges to balance automating, what can we do manually, and so on. So I think, yeah, good to collaborate with each other. Talking about collaboration, how important, and you already mentioned that a bit in your intro, how important is community collaboration for us, cybersecurity professionals, and how can we help others?
What I love the most about cybersecurity, people, it's going onto Twitter after a major vulnerability or a major breach, and just watching the different queries being able to build up and then being shared. It could be Sigma, it could be Yara, it could be KQL, but just people spreading what they know, what they have seen, and throwing it out there. And I think that's what I love to see and what I love to collaborate with as well. It's being able fast on response during an incident, during a vulnerability like Log4j, and just people spitting things out. And they will share with each other and we'll talk with each other. Okay, I have an improvement for that query. We can do it like this, or I saw a different iteration which we need to use. But I think just in general, the security community coming together and uniting fronts and working against threat actors exploiting those vulnerabilities. It's an amazing thing to see, and also just how fast things go. In a matter of hours, we have people jumping on top of that and sharing intelligence.
And do you see also a specific role for the Microsoft MVPs to foster that collaboration?
Yeah, I think just knowing how to use the Microsoft tools to protect against a vulnerability. It's when we're talking about the CVE-10, we need to go fast. And oftentimes we need to use the Microsoft tooling to the best of our abilities to work together. It's for example, using KQL to build detections, but also knowing what is vulnerable, what isn't vulnerable. That's often the collaboration between MVPs and sharing that publicly and privately. To work together. And what I love the most is when you're talking with MVPs, you're not talking with, hey, you're from company X or Y. You're just talking with friends and other professionals, and you don't care if it's a competitor you have with a customer. You just share the knowledge and you help each other. And that's an amazing feeling to have.
Yeah, I think... We can totally agree on that, because I know for sure the Log4j stuff, and that we were building queries in the evening, and it was opening at the end of the afternoon, I guess, and from my perspective, and then in the evening everything was coming together helping customers. Yeah, that was. It's fun to do, but also quite a hard work. But yeah, we love to do that, probably. As a last question, Thijs, what is your personal, professional goal for the coming period?
Well, personal goal, I have a son who's 9 years old. 9 months old, not a year, a month. So it's really early beginning.
Yeah, you wish to 9 years.
Yeah, you will sleep a little bit better. But I'm just trying to enjoy as much family time as possible, spending so much time with him, playing with him, doing things together. And that's really the focus point at the moment. And between that and work, there's not really much time left. In terms of, I think, the professional career, I'm working on two solutions at the collective, which I'm hoping we will be able to release next year, which will solve some of the challenges we have mentioned today. And I hope to build and roll out those solutions and help customers getting everything they need from the Microsoft security stack.
Thank you for joining. Puyan, any last words to ask?
I think we asked a lot. One of the last questions maybe that hits up is, you gave a lot of advice. What would be your advice to IT and security professionals that are now currently looking and in the field of cybersecurity for the coming period, and how they can maybe develop themselves?
For me, it's most important that people are curious and they learn things. I think it's also really important in cybersecurity. You cannot have like really a tunnel vision on things. You need to have an open mind. And if you're curious and you look into, for example, you see something on LinkedIn or Twitter and you search something from it, or you research another topic, or you look into different things, continuously challenge yourself and make sure you keep an open vision. And I think then everything comes together. You can learn so much from this community, from the cybersecurity community. And if you're curious, I think you can go such a long way. I think that's the best advice I can give. Just be able to look forward to learn and be curious and look things up. Don't stop.
Amazing.
Nice. Thanks. That's all the time that we have for today's episode of Security MVP Insights. Thijs, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise on cloud security trends and best practices.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and follow us for more expert insights on cybersecurity. And don't forget to visit Thijs' blogs at 365bytheis.be. So note that for more of his articles and resources, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will continue to explore the ever-evolving world of cybersecurity. So thanks, Bojan. I say until next time, and until then, stay secure.